Our scripture reading this morning will come from two places. The first place will be Genesis 15, and the second place will be from Hebrews 11. First, I'd like to read the section from Genesis 15, and I'll be reading from the New International Version. Let us hear the public reading of God's holy, inerrant, and infallible word. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said, So shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur, the Chaldeans, to give you this land to take possession of it. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? So the Lord said to him, Bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abram brought all these to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with the great possessions. You, however, will go to your fathers in peace, and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not reached its full measure. Thus the reading from Genesis 15. Now we'd like to go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And I'll be reading verses 11 and 12. Hebrews 11, verses 11 and 12. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was unable to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. That's the reading of God's word this morning. When we read the passage in Genesis chapter 15, we read that God gave to Abraham two promises. Two promises to Abraham as he left the land of Ur, the land in which was his home. He said that there is a promise of a land in which you will live in. I will give you a land which you can dwell, and your descendants can dwell, a land which is not your own. I will give this to you. And the second promise that God gave to Abraham is that not only would he have a land, but that he would give him the seed. He would give them life. He would give him descendants, as many as the sand in the seashore and the stars in the sky. There were two promises given, the promise of the land and the promise of his many, many descendants. Well, last week, as we began looking at Hebrews 11, we looked at verses 8 through 10. And in these three verses, the Lord describes the promise and the fulfillment of the first aspect of that promise. And that was that Abraham would leave his place that he had known from the beginning, where he was raised. He would leave this place, and later on, he was to receive an inheritance. And so Abraham obeyed, he left, and Abraham made his home in as a wanderer. As it said last week, as we looked at that, he was a stranger in a foreign country. Abraham never fulfilled that promise as he lived on this earth. God had called him. God had made the promise. But Abraham, as he lived, as he wandered, he never saw it fulfilled on earth. But he had his hope in the future. He had his hope looking forward to a city, as it says in verse 10, with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Last week, we focused on the first aspect of that promise. Now, in verses 11 and 12, the author of Hebrews focuses on faith in the second aspect of that promise. God had promised Abraham in Genesis chapter 15 that he would have descendants as many as the sand on the seashore and as the stars in the sky. Abraham believed that promise, and he rested his trust in God that that promise would be fulfilled. But just as Abraham, who was a stranger in that land and never inherited the land on this earth, he always lived as a stranger, never fully seeing the actual fulfillment of God's promise here on this earth, so it was the same thing with the second promise. Because what happened? Abraham grew in age past the age of childbearing. Sarah was barren in the womb past the age of childbearing. Abraham and Sarah, all their years of wondering, all their years of believing God's promise that he would make a great nation out of him, they never had a child. They were childless. Do you see how the promise and the fulfillment of the two promises are one and the same in our text? Abraham never saw the fulfillment of the literal land here on this earth. Abraham and Sarah could not see how God could make a great nation out of him as long as he wondered, because they had no child. For God to fulfill this promise to Abraham, God would have to do something out of the ordinary in the present to demonstrate what was to happen in the future. God would have to come down from heaven and intervene in their lives to fulfill his promise. This is the story of Abraham and Sarah. Now, if you listen carefully this morning to the reading of the text that I read to you from the New International Version, I'm sure that you noticed that the NIV wording is quite a bit different than the wording of the other translations that perhaps many of you have. The NIV translators have put the emphasis of the faith on Abraham. Let me read it again for you. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was unable to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. They put the emphasis on the faith of Abraham, and your other translations put the emphasis on the faith of Sarah. Sarah becomes the subject of the sentence in the other, the King James, the New Revised Standard, the other versions that you have. Now, one of the reasons for this about our text and about this verse is that the Greek manuscripts that we have of the book of Hebrews are somewhat in disagreement in their understanding of this text. There are four different categories that you look at when you're doing text criticism, when there's a conflict between different texts. There's A, which means we're almost sure that this is what it says. There's B, there's C, all the way to D, which is the weakest of, we aren't really totally sure what it says, but this is what we gather to be the right reading. In other words, in verse 11 of chapter Hebrews, of Hebrews 11, we are the least sure, it is in the least category, the D category, of what the Greek text actually says. Now, why would that be? Our most reliable manuscripts that we have, and of course the category for the oldest is always the most reliable, we have two very reliable manuscripts that have different readings. That is why it is considered unsure. And so the NIV authors have put a certain emphasis on one particular reading, as your other translations have put the emphasis on a different reading. Now, why would this be a problem? In other words, I use the word problem, saying that why would this be difficult for us to translate? That's what I mean. It isn't a problem that we're not sure what God's Word says, but we're saying that this is a difficulty which we need to resolve, which isn't critical to our faith, but one which we need to seek to know and to understand. Well, part of the difficulty of translating it that it was Sarah who did it is that Sarah is a woman. All the other places in Hebrews 11, just about all of them, at least the ones so far, we have been putting the emphasis on the faith of a man. Now the faith would be on the faith of a woman, which would cause us to question the faith of a woman. Why would the author put all of a sudden emphasis on the faith of a woman? But I think we can answer that question, because in Hebrews 11, verse 31, look what it says. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. It would not be unusual for our author to emphasize the faith of a woman, because he does mention another woman in Hebrews 11, verse 31. But there is another reason why people would doubt that Sarah is the one being mentioned. And it causes us to turn back to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. Genesis 18, verse 1. The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre, while he was sitting at the entrance to the tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. And when he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "If I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you will all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so that you can be refreshed, then go on your way now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered. "Do as you say." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get three seahs of fine flour and knead it and bake some bread." Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to the servant who hurried to prepare it. Then he brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set those before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. "Where is your wife, Sarah?" they asked. "There in the tent," he said. Then the Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure?" Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, "I did not laugh." But he said, "Yes, you did laugh." As we read the story of Sarah in Genesis 18, does Sarah strike us as a woman of faith? No. Sarah is told the promise, and what does Sarah do? She laughs as to whether it could be true. And then when she's told, "Yes, you laughed," she lies that she did not laugh. Sarah is not portrayed in the book of Genesis as a woman of faith. And so people who are translating Greek manuscripts, people who translate from Greek to the English, question the validity of whether Sarah really was a woman of faith. She laughed. Why would the author of Hebrews mention Sarah if she laughed? Why would the author of Hebrews mention Sarah if she was a woman? But the author of Hebrews does mentioned Sarah. When it comes down to it, the most reliable, the ones that we look at critically for our text and our translation, would seem to indicate that the author of Hebrews does mention Sarah. In fact, if you look at your bottom of your page on your NIV Bibles, you will see what I believe is the better reading. By faith, even Sarah, who was past age, was enabled to bear children because she considered God faithful who had made the promise. The emphasis is upon Sarah, but Sarah had doubts. And that is precisely the point of the author of Hebrews. Sarah did have doubts, but Sarah also had faith. Sarah had faith. She could not have had that child if she did not have faith. But her faith wavered, yes. Her faith stumbled as she laughed and as she lied. But Sarah still had faith. And believe me, it took faith for her to have that child. You see, people mentioned in the halls of faith aren't necessarily people who had great faith all of their lives. Later on in the book of in Hebrews 11, one of the people of faith mentioned in verse 32 is Samson. Samson who lived with the pagans, Samson who lived with the Philistines, Samson who slept with Delilah, and all the terrible things that Samson did. But in the end, Samson had faith. Sarah also had faith, and if she had not had faith, she could not have been a mother. Think about it. Sarah is past the age of childbearing. She's in her 90s. Sarah is past the stage of menopause. All medical purposes would indicate to us that Sarah could not have a child. But not only was Sarah unable to have a child, but look what the first part of verse 12 tells us. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Not only was Sarah unable to have a child, but also Abraham, it tells us, was as good as dead. Abraham had wandered. Abraham had been a sojourner. His body was tired. He was past the age where his body was capable of producing life so that he could again have a child with Sarah. That's what the author of Hebrews tells us. Not only is Sarah's womb barren, but Abraham's womb is barren. Abraham's body is barren. Excuse me. But did you ever think to yourself, why did God not fulfill this promise by giving Sarah and Abraham many, many children? God had promised Abraham, Abraham, I'm going to make a great nation out of you. Why did not God give to them 10, 12, 20 children in which they could all know that the promise was there and they could visibly see that the promise was going to be fulfilled, that Abraham, the father of many children, would be the father and the founder of a great nation here on this earth? Why did God not do it that way? Because if God had done it that way, where would the faith of Abraham and Sarah be in the promise? This was not to be a promise. These descendants of the promise were not to be descendants who were going to be born of flesh. If Abraham had fathered many children, and they had many children, a great big family, where would the credit be? Where would their faith be? Their faith would not be in God that he was going to give the life, but the faith would be that God would give the life through them, and their confidence would not be in God, but in the flesh. God put them in this situation, God put them through this providence, so that their faith would not be in themselves, but that they would know that their faith, that this nation of descendants was not going to come from them, but it was going to come only from God. How is this described? Sarah's womb is dead. Abraham's body is as good, as it tells us, as dead. There is no way humanly possible here on this earth that a great nation could ever come from Abraham and from Sarah. They are dead. But they have their faith in the Father. And God, because of their faith, regenerates their bodies. Sarah's womb once again becomes alive. Abraham's body once again becomes alive. God took two dead people and he regenerated them with life from heaven, which gave them life. And not only did God give them life, which could have only come from heaven, which could have only come down and interacted in their present situation, but he gave them the life of many descendants, as many descendants, as the text tells us, as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. How did they attain this life? Did Sarah have a model of faith where she always believed the promise and that God could do anything in her life despite whether she was past the age of childbearing? Sarah laughed. Sarah is described in Genesis as someone who does not trust in the promise, who laughs and who lies, who does not seem to be someone characterized as a godly woman. But the author of Hebrews is telling us that Sarah could have never had that child if she did not have faith. Her womb would have remained barren if she did not have faith that God could come down from the future and intervene into the present and that this would be a heavenly child. Sarah had faith. Now, how did Sarah have faith? Because God regenerated her heart that she could have faith that God could give her life. God worked in her heart, God worked in her life so that she knew and so that she could have faith. He enabled her to have faith. He put her and Abraham into a position so they had to have faith. Has God ever done that for you? Have you ever been put into a situation where you had to have faith? Because your life circumstances in God's providence became so difficult that you knew only God could work this situation out. God did that to Abraham and Sarah. God did not give them many children so that their confidence would not be in the flesh and what they could do on this earth, but their confidence, this nation would not be born of flesh or human descent, but these descendants, as many as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, would be born of God. Do you see this morning how this text is our story? Abraham's body, Sarah's womb, is dead. They are incapable of producing life on themselves. But God has given them life. He has given them life from heaven. Without Christ, you're dead. You are as dead in your sin as Abraham and Sarah were dead in their life. You are dead because without Christ, without God's giving of life from heaven, you have no hope. You have no hope of any kind of a future, of being part of any kind of descendants that God has promised, that God has promised that He will do for you. You have no hope of that. Your hope is as good as their hope in the flesh that they could have life. But God sent Abraham and Sarah life from heaven. He regenerated their bodies so that they could have life, so that they could have faith in the promise. God has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth from heaven so that you can have life. And His Son has regenerated your hearts so that you can have faith in this life that God has given you. And notice what it says. In verse 12. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. And so from this one man, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, who came to life, who gives us our life, came as many descendants as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. But you're living in the present. And you look at these descendants, and you look at this promise that God is going to send a nation so big and so large that this is what you're part of. This kingdom. That's what you believe by faith. But as you look around you, I would think that many of us would seem, don't see those descendants. It would seem to many of us, as we look at the world around us, that the descendants of God, the sons of God, are not so numerous that they're all around us that we can see this. We would seem to be in the minority. But God has His promise. God has His promise all throughout covenant history that God will send His descendants, that we are part of this country, that this is in the future. And how was it started? Because God gave life. God gave us His Son. God, through that Son, gave His descendants to this earth. But you know, Hebrews 11 is calling us to have the faith of Sarah. But Sarah laughed. As we read in the book of Genesis, Sarah is not someone who we would say she has great faith like her husband Abraham. But Sarah did have faith. Because in the end, as she looked to the future, she had faith. What about you as you look at God's promise? God has promised you that He who has sent His Son, who has given life when there is death, who has regenerated your bodies so that you do have life, so that you do have a future, where is your faith? Is it the faith of Sarah? Is it faith that doubts, that stumbles, but faith in the end, which is good? Or is it faith that continues to laugh, that continues to stumble, that continues to not believe that God can interact in the present and give you hope and can give you future? The author of Hebrews has mentioned the faith of Sarah, so that we can see that even though there is one who stumbles, as long as there is faith in God, God can regenerate that faith. And so it says at the end of verse 11, By faith, she considered him faithful who had made the promise. The object of Sarah's faith was God who could give life. The object of your faith is his son Christ who can give life. Amen.